Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest today is, well, me. Actually, I would like to break some things down for you. Scott's back to work managing our portfolios, and I made a list of a bunch of items I've been meaning to get to on the program, and with the guests and Scott having some interesting things to say, I pushed some of my stuff to the back burner, but it's important, so let me get to it. Couple of things. Here's one from the local paper. You know, all of the talk that we have on the program about, you know, you got to plan your future, you got to count on living a long time, you don't want to run out of money. I happened to see the paper, our local news journal. There was a few weeks ago, there was a day where we had, it seemed like, an interesting list. And I always, part of my job, of course, working with people in retirement is I also work with people when one spouse dies. We're working with them to get everything situated and help them through that very difficult period. And also make sure their money's where it needs to be. And of course, if we've done our job, we've already planned ahead and we've got their money invested properly for one or both spouses being alive. But it hit me the other day as I looked at the paper. We've got, here's a gentleman, lived to 95, a woman lived to 98, another woman 86, 95 for another man, 89 for another man, 95 for another man. So it struck me, and it's of course anecdotal. It's not a statistically, what's the right word? It doesn't necessarily indicate a particular trend, but longevity does seem to be getting longer. People are living longer. So as you think about your financial future, I have people come in and they laugh. I start talking to them about how long they're going to live, and we ask about their history and their family, but we get into the planning. Very often, I'll build a financial plan that will project out age 100 so they can see the impact and they can make sure that they have enough money that's going to see them through. And then that tends to cause us to want to talk about ways to get guarantees of income. You got your Social Security. You might have a pension. You might not. You might have rental income. But we start looking at ways to take the money they've accumulated to get a guarantee of income. And so we start looking at investments or financial products that will do that. We might look at a conservative investment portfolio. We might look at an annuity that's going to give income. But when we look at how long people are living, there you go, right from the local paper. It seems that more and more, I mean, think back 20 years ago or 30 years ago, how many people you heard of that lived into their 90s. It was not that often. It seemed to be a pretty rare thing. And it seems like every time we look now in the paper, well, there you go. All right, a couple other items I wanted to get to. I've seen this recently with people investing, trying to time the market. Here we go again. And Scott and I have talked about it on the program a couple of times, but I know that we're right up close to an election and there's a temptation to want to time the market. Or either you think, boy, as soon as this election's over, the market's going to jump up crazy, or you're on the other side of it, the far right side of it, so to speak, that you really are very concerned that may go the other way. And then the market may really take a hard hit. Well, we'll see. But trying to time it in such a short period, if you really are that concerned, then stay in cash. You know, we're talking about a couple weeks. And so, but if you're going to invest, put your money in over a period of time, trying to pick the perfect day, as we just talked about Monday's trade. If in the middle of the day you said, okay, this is it, I'm going to place this trade. You see how quickly or how much the market can change in one day. It was down over 90 points or 100 points at one point and closed back up positive. So be careful. And the other thing, this is one of the reasons why people probably should work with an advisor if they've got money to invest, is to have that additional layer between themselves and that decision about to what to buy or what to sell and when. Even if somebody's got the knowledge to invest, we need to be careful, because if you're the person making that decision by yourself and you get very concerned, you try to make your investment decisions and you're looking at the world around you. And again, when you're in that environment, you try to make the best decision you can. But if you think back to 08, 09, when the market went down 38% for the Dow, when you look at where things bottomed out, the Dow hit was down at 6,500 points, March of 2009. And you look at where it is today, it's double that. And if you had gone to cash, which I do know a couple of people that did that, and or you tried to go to cash, or you just tried to stay invested, but you just couldn't stomach it, and you were in and out of the market, I've seen that play out and really play out badly. So my word of caution is just that if you're trying to make some decisions and you're concerned about the market, maybe sit tight, or if you're going to invest, try to stick with the strategy, because I think regardless of who's elected president, there's going to be a lot of work to do, and we hope our better days ahead, but try to be careful making that emotional response. And if you don't have an advisor, that's what an advisor does. It helps you think through that. And if you do have an advisor, talk with them about some of the decisions you want to make with the timing. I had a gentleman just the other day who called me, who was very concerned about the upcoming election. His portfolio, we had built a plan, and he had a lot of money invested in different categories of different types of investing. He had part of his money for income, part was more conservative, part was more aggressive. And he was very concerned. He wanted to move the part that was more aggressive either to cash or just something ultra conservative. So we talked through it. And what we decided to do was move him down a little bit in terms of the level of risk he was taking, but he's still invested. And since that time, the market's actually come up. So you want to be careful with trying to time it. Another example I can give you from prior experience is I had a client a few years back ask me to invest a chunk of money. He wanted to put a lot of money into one stock that was a new technology stock. You probably already know what I'm going to tell you. I convinced him to only put $5,000 into this one stock. It was a brand new startup company, and I think it was called Burst Technology. Does that you remember something like that, Lisa? Lisa's going, I have no idea. Well, anyway, it not only was the name of the company Burst Technology, but it did burst. It just blew up. And after that, that client, he says, okay, I got it, David. You tell me what to invest in, and you call the shots. But the key is to stay diversified. So with some of the opportunities that we hear about with investing, we just talked about the Apple iPad, the new Mini coming out. Just don't go and load up on any of these. Or if you think there's a new opportunity, I had a gentleman call me the other day talking to me about a new stock or a new investment that he wants us to look at for our clients. And that's great. We'll look at it, but not going to be recommending to put a bunch of money in any one of these individual companies. It's just too much risk. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back. I've got some more individual or specific items I want to go over with you, so stay right there.
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
We're back, and I tried to quiz Lisa on the break about that Burst Technology, and she just shook her head at me. She's anyway, there's a lot of these technology companies have come and gone, and it's hard to keep track of some of the ones that have burst. Other things going on, identity theft, this is becoming more and more of an issue. If you aren't focusing on this, please do, because every time I turn around, there's something I'm getting in my email. I have signed up for an identity theft protection, and I get notices, and I'm seeing more and more activity out there about this, all kinds of schemes and scams that people go through to try to get your identity. Another item that recently I've seen be a question or an item for people is that trying to decide when to invest. And we talked about the investment side. What if you're trying to figure out when to sell your stocks or your mutual funds, or you're thinking about going into something that's going to pay you a fixed rate of interest? Well, one of the things that we look at here in my company is when we're looking to go into an investment, we kind of dollar cost average in. We go in a little bit at a time, but when it's time to get out, we just pick our day and we're out. So I've had people who are trying to make a transition where we built a financial plan for them and we're going to move their money, say, from a heavy portfolio that's in stock over to a diversified portfolio that might include an annuity, doing something for long-term care, a conservative portfolio, maybe some money that's still for growth. So they're going to go from being heavily invested in the market maybe to not so much. And they struggle sometimes, not always. Most of the time people understand they've got to make that shift, but they say, well, do I pick a day it's up? How do I know it's going to be up or down? And truth is, it's very hard to say. So you just pick the day and say, that's it. And I recommend doing that, especially if you're in a 401k or something like that. Just make that change and then be at peace that you've done it. Go, in other words, go to cash and let the transfer take place, because it's awfully hard trying to pick how that's going to work out. And if you're waiting on interest rates to go up before you do something, sometimes people say, well, I'm going to go into this fixed account or this fixed product or something that's going to pay me a fixed rate of interest. I'm going to wait a little bit longer for rates to go up. Well, how long will you be waiting? I can't tell you. And this is what I do every day. I can't tell you how long it's going to be before rates go up. They say, well, we won't raise rates. The Fed says we won't raise rates for at least a couple more years. Or rates could go up. We have a change in the presidency. Who's in the Oval Office might have an impact. But if you're waiting around, where's the money invested in the meantime? If it's in cash, you're making nothing. You could be making something, and maybe you've got a financial product that will pay you income, and it's going to pay you more the sooner you start. And then, or you're going to get a fixed rate of interest, and you can at least make something. And if you stay invested in whatever you're in now, and let's say the market does take a hit, then you've lost. So instead of not making much money because you're in a low rate environment, you're losing money. And I had a gentleman in the other day, and I kind of scared him, and I didn't mean to, but I was explaining to him the world that I and the people that work with me, the world we have to live in, and that world is that there's a dirty bomb that goes off in New York City. That's the world I have to live in, that we have another attack. Now, that I know that's, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but think about what would happen to your investments if, you know, all of a sudden something really bad happens like that. Would your accounts go down in value? Well, yeah. If you've got money invested in the market, there's a real good chance they'll go down in value. And you can't always get, quote unquote, get out when that happens. Yes, you can place trades to sell out of those holdings, but they will already be down in value by the time you can reach over and pull the trigger or call your broker or call your advisor or whatever you do. You say, well, I'm paying an advisor. That's their job. Well, if you hire an advisor to manage your money for growth, they're going to stick with that growth strategy. That's what they're supposed to do. If you've hired them to be in a conservative portfolio, that's what they're going to do. So they're not going to jump all over the place or react to the news of the day. At least they shouldn't be. And so if you are concerned, well, we would all be concerned if something like that happened. But my point is that if you're worried about your retirement being affected in a big way, if something like that were to happen, then you probably need to rethink how you're invested. Because the way I invest for my clients is we protect the money they need in the short term or they're going to need for income. We use different ways of doing that, either very conservative or use a fixed product like a fixed annuity to give income. But the other money that's more for growth, well, that can be invested in things that are going to fluctuate that might go down in value. But if they go down in value, they will very likely come back up, just like we talked about earlier in the program when we had the 2008-2009, March 6, 2009, the Dow gets all the way down to 6,500. It had been as high as over 14,000 on the Dow back in October of 07. So, but it's recovered now back to where we're in the 13,000s. And there are people that say it's going to go to 15,000. Of course, there's people also say it would go down to 5,000. There's always those people on the fringe that are out there at those extreme points. But if we have a major event, money that is in the market shouldn't be there unless you can stomach and also not need that money until it's had a chance to recover. Simple enough. Take a quick break. We'll be right back for some more good stuff.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we're back. I've been saving this for a while. I've been wanting to read it to you. This looks like a press release. No, this is an article. Asian Times on Thursday. This is from September 8th, 2031. Beijing. Asian leaders escalated their hardline talks on the United States Thursday with the Chinese finance minister threatening to leave the country at the mercy of the financial markets if it doesn't meet the conditions set for receiving aid. Aid will only be paid if the United States actually does what it says it has agreed to do, said the Chinese finance minister in an interview with Asian World Radio. The United States does not meet the conditions it's agreed to. As assessed by monitors from the International Monetary Fund, the Asian Central Bank and the Asian World Commission then will have to stop its payments, the Chinese finance minister added. Then the United States has to see how it gets access to financial markets without help from the Asian zone. That's the United States' problem, he added. The Chinese minister pointed out, however, there are no legal mechanism to expel a country from the world financial system. His comments add to the chorus of sharp rhetoric toward the United States from its Asian area benefactors as the United States struggles to find new measures to meet its deficit reduction targets, a task made harder by deeper than expected recession. So, Asian Times 2031, actually, you already probably figured out what I did. That's a New York Times article from Jack Ewing back in September of 2011. I did a fancy fine word and replace in that document that I cut and paste into my little Word document. And wherever it said Greece, I changed it to the United States. So what do we do about that? That boy, that's a big challenge. As individuals, we wonder what's going to come of our country. You know, we can do financial planning and do a good job to help people get where they need to be with their money. And that's what I'm going to say is you can do two things. You can address your own personal financial situation by getting sound advice. Find a financial advisor you're comfortable with. Get them to help you and guide you. Make sure you can access a variety of different products through them, or you might have to use more than one advisor if that's not possible. But get financial guidance and vote. 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 Because that may be the headline that we read in 30 years from now, that we continue to borrow money. And I actually did some math here earlier. Every 50 seconds is another $1 million added to our national debt. So make it easy. Round math will give them the benefit of the doubt. For every minute, it's another $1 million. Go to usdebtclock.org and watch the numbers go across the screen. What can we do to fix that? Well, you heard it. Vote and do what you can for your own personal situation. Oh, I got to get this in. There's been a lot of talk recently, I've seen in the paper, about the DROP program. The Deferred Retirement Option Program. This is for state employees. If they're elected officials, they are in the school system, they're firefighters, police people, and they've been in the pension, the Florida retirement system, the pension system. This is something that was created a few years back to allow people, those that qualify with 30 years in the Florida retirement system, there's some other requirements, to be able to retire from their Florida retirement system and start drawing their pension, have those pension payments go into a special account, it's called a DROP account, and have that accumulate for them, and it earns interest until they're actually ready to completely retire, and then they can keep working. So what happens is, if somebody's eligible, they can say, okay, I'm going to freeze my pension, I'm going to stop accruing benefits, I don't get the money, the pension payments, say it's $2,500 a month, it goes into a pension account called a DROP account, and it earns interest. And then when you retire, it's accumulated, and then you start getting your pension. But in the meantime, you've been working, getting a salary. And so this has come up as a campaign item in a couple different races I've seen. And so if you're hearing this, I want you to understand that it's not double dipping. The way this is designed it was actually originally created to save money and to encourage people that had more experience who were paid more, to encourage them to retire and go in, because you get 5 years that you can do the DROP program. So if you've got somebody, say they're 65 years old and they're eligible to retire, they would say, okay, they would tell the school or wherever they work, I'm going to retire and go into DROP. They would no longer earn pension benefits, but they can continue to work for 5 more years. And let's say it's $2,500 a month, that's $30,000 a year. $30,000 a year for 5 years, $150,000 would go into that DROP account. It's coming from their pension payments, and they still get paid, but the money goes into the DROP account. And then when they retire and start receiving their pension, they would have this $150,000 there that would be an additional source of funds that they could use. So it's not double dipping. It's completely legal, legitimate, and it actually is a way to save money for the Florida retirement system, which, of course, for the employers who participate, it's a way for them to save money. So when you hear about this in campaigns, just be careful to understand that it's not a double dipping mechanism. All right, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to tune in next time.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.